Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Fairleigh Dickinson is going to go to the first round with their first NCAA tournament win ever.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It has begun, and let's get out to the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the $7,000 off on Jeeps. And there we find Tim Doyle working with Stadium and CBS Sports, a longtime friend of the program. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Morning, Tim.
Good morning, guys. Obviously, the madness has begun, and I passed on a note to your outstanding producer, Dustin. I've just survived night number three, sleeping at a senior citizen development on Long Island with my parents as I'm out here working for the tournament, and it has been quite the experience.
Oh, I don't even want to ask where to begin. I mean, mother of God.
I'll just tell you this, okay? The whole place smells like Bengay, which actually isn't that bad for like 5 minutes. And then what I've learned is old people, the circle of life, you're supposed to get wiser. All old people do is gamble and fool around. There's a sign in like the playroom here, they call it. It says STDs are highest among people in their 20s and people between 70 and 80. And I'm like trying to eat lunch there. I was like, this place is wild.
Wow.
I was on vacation one time and we were climbing sand dunes. And so I was like, God, my calf is killing me. So I got some Bengay, rubbed it on my calf. And I'm standing in line for coffee the next day. And the girl looks at me and says, you smell like soccer practice. So help us out, Tim. What are we looking at with these play-in games? I thought that yesterday was a lot of fun. I enjoyed seeing some teams that we don't normally watch. I thought the Prairie View and Fairleigh Dickinson game was really good. And tonight we get to watch, I guess the team that is going to be sacrificed at the feet of Duke. But in the other game, there's a couple of coaches we'll recognize, some old heroes going at.
You're in the right place to be for St. John's to be playing.
Yeah.
Yes, and obviously talking about Bobby Hurley at Arizona State and Chris Mullen, who I believe saved his job getting St. John's into the tournament. If you haven't seen their point guard play, Shamari Pons, he is electrifying, left-handed, is able to score at will. He's going to take a lot of shots tonight. He can make guys better. St. John's has an outstanding starting five, but which St. John's team is going to show up? The team that beat Villanova or the team that lost to DePaul? So they've been so inconsistent this year. This is a tough game to kind of handicap. I know Arizona State is 2-point favorite. I lean towards them, but I love the fact that yesterday's games, a team like Belmont got a chance to compete in the tournament. I mean, the Ohio Valley Conference got two teams in. Obviously, everyone wants to see John Morant from Murray State, but Belmont deserved to get in. And I'm all about the mid-majors getting an advantage to get into the tournament. I mean, we watched the tournament for two reasons, right? You want to see the Cinderellas early, and then you want to see the big boys late. And it's so hard to schedule if you're a mid-major. Like, there's no reason in my eyes that Loyola of Chicago doesn't play Northwestern every year. I mean, I think that's an absolute joke. I think that you're cheating the fans of Chicago out of great Chicago basketball. I think Philly does it right with the Big Five, and everyone plays each other. I mean, there's so many bad non-conference games that I know Molly used to cover. I know, David, you used to be at those games when Northwestern's playing, Northwest, Southwest, any school that had a directional in front of them, you knew they were going to be bad. So why not play the schools around? I'm all for all the Chicago schools playing competitive, compelling non-conference games.
Tim, Chicago fans the last 2 years have been spoiled. Northwestern was a national darling in 2017, and last year the Loyola story sort of captured everybody's imagination. If you're looking for a team to be like that this year, who's the best story of among the mid-majors or among the teams that maybe we don't expect to succeed?
Yeah, I got a ton of double-digit seeds winning, David. I got double-digit seeds winning all over the place. You could check out my bracket on my Twitter feed, which is at TimDoyle00. I like Yale. And the reason I like Yale so much is they go up against an LSU squad that is missing their coach, obviously Will Wade's and some very, very hot water there. LSU's got NBA guys everywhere. And when you have dysfunction in the locker room and now you lose your coach, these guys are already thinking about, all right, where's the next step? And you go up against a Yale team that has an NBA player on the wing. They play Duke very competitive down at Cameron Indoor. I watched that game very closely to take good care of the basketball. And you know the crowd is going to get behind Yale when they take the lead in the first half. Everybody's going to be rooting for them. And it just reminds me so much of when Indiana and Kelvin Sampson, when that was a disaster there, he gets dismissed. Dan Dockage, of all people, becomes the head coach there. And that team was talented. They had DJ White, then Eric Gordon, and they got run out of the gym by Arkansas. So that's a game I got my eyes on. Other double-digit seeds I like. I think Belmont's going to win two more games. That would be three in whatever, five nights. I like New Mexico State. They won 30-plus games. I got upsets all over the place.
Do you like UC Irvine?
A lot of people like UC Irvine, and they're going up against Kansas State, right, Molly?
Yeah, Kansas State, and Kansas State's got another injury. Ward's out again.
And Kansas State has a tough time scoring. I think Illinois, all in all, and Illinois fans, I would love to get their opinion on this. They made a mistake. I mean, I know Bruce Weber wasn't like the sexiest coach of all time, but ever since he's left Champaign, now they're starting to go in the right direction. It's sort of kind of been a disaster down there. And I know he inherited a very talented team, and Bruce Weber always makes me so angry because he said, it's not a rivalry with Northwestern because we kick their butts every year. I went, Bruce, you dirty, you know what? But he's right. He did dominate us at the time. And he's gone to Kansas State, and that looked like a really odd hire. But he's done a great job. I think he's up for National Coach of the Year. I do like Kansas State in that game, but, Molly, I expect it to be like 59-58, one of those grind-out type of games.
Tim, I'm curious about who your Final Four is, but I'm more curious about how much advice you took from your son, Joe. Those are great videos you post on Facebook and social media. Who's he picking?
Yeah, it really depends. Whatever, like, if I buy a police car from, like, Walgreens and I put it in front of a team, he's going to pick that team. I love how people are like, does he actually watch the games? I'm like, can't even wipe his own butt. No, he doesn't watch the games. He's four, crying out loud. And I got to give Dan McNeil a lot of credit. And I know Dan has a son that has had some issues, and he really poked the bear with me because I never felt comfortable because I didn't want people to feel bad for, like, a situation that I had. And I know there's a lot of dads out there and dads listening right now that, you know, going through tough times with kids that have, you know, different ailments and disorders. And, you know, my son definitely has had a ton of ups and downs, and I always tried to portray him as just a normal kid. I didn't realize until recently that all that stuff and all those videos are actually more therapeutic for me than anyone else. And him and I have a great bond, a great relationship. He has, like, gotten more positive feedback from people in town and coaches when I'm on the road calling 40-plus games. But you guys giving me that compliment really means a lot. Thank you.
Great stuff, Tim. Who is your Final Four? Have you picked the Final Four, and who do you have winning the thing?
Yeah, I just, as a fan, I'll give you the Final Four first. I have Duke. I have Nevada because I'm just trying to beat Gonzaga, and I think Gonzaga is going to run into Syracuse, and I don't think that's a great matchup. But I just found out that Jordan Caroline from Nevada is really banged up, so yeah, that might alter my pick a little bit. I think Florida State, Michigan, obviously that bracket in my eyes is really tough. I'm trying to beat Virginia just because I'm a racetrack guy, and it's like,
yes,
if a horse always goes to the front and doesn't get to the finish line first, I mean, how do you, like, what's your past performance to say about Virginia? I think they run into a buzzsaw in Purdue. I think Carson Edwards could put on, like, a Kemba Walker type performance, and then North Carolina Kentucky matchup. I actually had Kentucky and I scratched it out of my bracket and I left it in there, and I have North Carolina, and then maybe it's just the fan in me. I want to see North Carolina play Duke for the fourth time, and I think experience wins out over the sensational freshman on Duke. I have North Carolina winning it all.
Wow. That's great. I think most people look at Duke, Tim, and I think I wonder if we're going to look back at this tournament as much great analysis has gone on and all the reasons people choose. They've got three potential top five players in their starting lineup. They're all freshmen. They're all prone to having bad games. But if Duke is healthy, how do they lose? I mean, how do they lose to North Carolina? How do they lose to anybody if they are healthy and functioning as much as they can?
David, I agree with you. They're the most talented team in college basketball. But I see the stat, and I've seen it multiple times, so I'm just going to kind of regurgitate it out there. They shoot 30% from three. So that would be the lowest percentage from three of any team that's ever made the Final Four. And that could end up being their Achilles heels, just like so many teams we've seen that aren't good free throw shooting teams. It always seems to bite them. In Chicago, haven't we seen guys that miss kicks all the time when they get a chance to make a big kick? Don't they usually
miss
it?
That's just cruel, Tim. That's just cruel.
That's something that just sticks out to me. So they certainly are the most talented team. You want to know something? I look at their bracket, dude. They got some brutal games. I think VCU is going to be a dogfight. That spread's going to be like 7, 8, or 9. VCU is going to cover that spread. And then they go to D.C., where they run into Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech has obviously got a great contingency. They've already beaten Duke. They're not going to be scared of Duke. They get Justin Robinson back. If Duke wins that game, then they got Michigan State. Like, they just have a brutal draw for the number one overall seed. So they're certainly going to be tested, but talk to Bruiser Flint, who was the old Drexel coach, and now he's the top assistant at Indiana, and he said that Zion Williamson is the best athlete he's ever seen. And that's a guy who's been a head coach for a long time. Obviously, coached against Zion this year when Indiana got blown out by Duke. And it's great to see him on the floor. I thought it was a dumb move, him coming back, because he's got hundreds of millions of dollars waiting for him. But it is great for the sport because he is electrifying to watch.
Tim, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you, pal.
Thanks, Tim. Some advice. Make sure you knock on doors before you walk in any out there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's great. I just feel like there's like cottage cheese like all over the place. This whole place is gross. I can't wait to get out of here.
Take care. Good stuff.
All right, Tim. Thank you, buddy. Tim Doyle, Stadium at CBS Sports.
Yeah, and those videos he does with his son are well done.
Chicago Joe.
Touching, yeah. And they're kind of fun to watch.
No question about it. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670 the score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years, baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter, and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the score. Bruce Levine joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of $7,000 off on Jeeps. And Bruce, of course, is the Score's baseball expert. And as such, Bruce, big news in baseball. We've seen yet another breakthrough of the ceiling for a player, and that bodes good for players, maybe bad for owners. What happens next with the Cubs, and how urgent is it to get a deal or two done here if we're talking this kind of money?
Yeah, I mean, guys, you know, as always, you know, there's different stories going around. Bryant and Rizzo yesterday talked about the fact that they you know, they're enthused that all this money's going out around there, you know, with them and Contreras and Baez and Hendricks looking for contracts over the next couple of years. Then one Cub player, you know, brought me to the side and said, hey, this is off the record, but I want you to know it and I want you to get it out there. And he said, you know, this is all about signing the big players up to long-term contracts and setting the tone for the possibility – of work stoppages in the future because of the fact that the owners will try to implement a salary cap. And at that point, they'll want all their big players signed. And then the middle group, as we've seen in the last two off seasons, will deal with the fact that contracts just won't be there for them. But that's another take that this player had. The big guys are just looking at the money and saying, hey, there's plenty of money to go around for all of us.
The haves and the have-nots. Yeah, the gap, widening gap between the stars and maybe the new young players, and there's no middle class in baseball. Maybe. That you could see that perhaps happening. I think when you also look at the finances of baseball, certainly the Cubs, where they stand, well-documented this offseason, Bruce, how much harder will that be to accept for Cubs fans if Craig Kimbrel ends up in the Brewers' bullpen? They are talking to him, as according to reports, maybe they haven't signed him yet. Maybe they won't sign him. But if they do, what will that do to Cubs fans looking at how the Cubs didn't go after a guy that could be a difference maker?
Yeah, I mean, it'll certainly be a blow, you know, to them ego-wise. As far as what the guy has left, I mean, you know, the numbers are awesome. He has Hall of Fame numbers, but toward the end of the year, most scouts and front offices were very concerned about, a loss in command, a loss in velocity for Kimbrel, and therefore you see almost opening day being a week away from here, and he still doesn't have a contract. So it's not about just the 6 years that he initially asked at somewhere around $100 million. It's the fact that, you know, the wear and tear in a guy that throws 98 for so many years might be there. But, you know, the Cubs have some answers. Certainly they're encouraged by what Morrow is starting to do in the bullpen here. And, Joe Maddon would not rule out Stroop being ready for opening day, even though he's not going to throw in a game here until they break camp next week after they play the two games against Boston. But, there's a lot of veterans in there. There is some thought of angst, you know, because of the fact that, they won't have their closer, and Stroop might start the season, if anything, possibly in the DL, possibly only available a little bit. But, if that's the biggest problem the Cubs have right now, I think they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at, just because I think that there's a lot of people that will wonder, as you start talking about where the Cubs fit into the division and all that stuff, and we've heard so many differing reports on that. How much better would that make a team like the Brewers? And isn't that already kind of a strength of theirs? And are they adding strength to strength? You know, it's just something to consider.
Yeah, if you look at the Brewers' offseason, they haven't added very much either. Mm. They have a couple of young arms out of that bullpen that they're counting on to be rotation guys. They know, and I've talked to, some of their people there and some of the players. They know they can't replicate what they did last year with their bullpen, coming in the third or fourth inning and pitching the rest of the way. They won the last eight games of the year last year. They were on fire. Otherwise, they were going to finish a few games behind the Cubs in that division. Give them credit for what they did, but they're smart enough to know that they're going to need fortification in their bullpen, moving some of those young arms up into the rotation. And Kimbrel, on paper, would give them an advantage, and a lot of people would say they would be the favorite to win that division if they added Kimbrel. I mean, that would be a great argument. It'd be hard on paper to argue against that. But again, I think the Cubs are, the comment that Epstein made the other day when he talked to us was, don't expect a big signing from us right now. So, with that in mind, is Tom Ricketts giving them the right, during the season, if they need to add, to be able to go and do that? Epstein's been able to do that every year since he's had the team, and the team's been in competition. So you hope that's certainly going to be the case for them again this
year. And the Brewers are going to keep the pressure on. Bruce, they did sign Grandal in the offseason, and they did bring Moustakas back, and they thought they might lose him. I mean, they had a pretty good offseason when you look at it that way. That aside, let's look at the story yesterday. You posted a picture of Yu Darvish's blister, and that's been the talk of what happened yesterday from the Cubs camp. How bad is it? How much should a Cub fan be concerned? And what would you do? How would you describe his mood and temperament afterward?
You're talking about the picture where he gave me the finger?
Yeah, he gave you the finger. first time, probably, Bruce,
and,
right?
You know, I asked him, I said, how does it look? He said, oh, do you want to see it? You know, and he held it up. So, I mean, he was so relaxed. He talked to the Japanese media for 20 minutes before he talked to us English-speaking reporters. And he was joking with them. The same thing with us. You know, he said he had this once before in 2013 with Texas. He tore it on a cutter. This was on a slider, the last pitch that he threw. And he feels it's not a big deal. It's not a situation where he continues to have blister problems like a lot of us have, and they have to come up with formulas to try to figure it out, pickle juice or the Moises Alou version of handling the situation like he used to with blisters. And I'm sure you guys will remember back to that.
Sure.
And the idea
I'm relieved
that,
you're not talking about it, Bruce.
the idea that that he feels any angst about this is it's just not there. He said he's going to throw today. It's just a piece of skin that came off as you see from throwing the slider.
But Bruce, you understand the angst, right? I mean, you understand given his history.
Are you kidding?
Yeah,
of course. It's a huge story. Anytime anything off kilter happens to this guy, it's a huge story. It has to be. Hopefully in the next 4 days, he'll be able to get back on the mound. I'm going to treat it with a laser and cream and whatever they do to make the skin heal. And he's going to stay away from throwing the slider for now.
All righty, Bruce. Thank you,
Thanks,
pal.
Bruce.
We appreciate
it, guys.
As always, thank you.
Have a great day.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Oh, no, no. I'm going the wrong way. I got to go right-handed.
I'm coming. One more time.
Can I get through the legs?
So disappointed in myself. You have no idea.
Yeah, I'm just getting warmed up. Dusty, you see that?
I saw all three.
Oh, all three.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Chris Bryant. If you haven't been online and seen it, he posted. He apparently the Bulls were in Phoenix, and he hung out with.
He went to the game.
He went to the game.
And I think he took some
shoes.
He
met Zach LaVine, right? Yeah. And anyway,
it was an exchange.
So he put a hoop up wherever he's staying and near Mesa with the Cubs and
outside Scorehouse, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was at the Scorehouse. Yeah. And he just went to play some ball, and so he decided he was gonna dunk. Now Chris Bryant is 6'5".
Yeah.
Okay? I mean
athletic.
6'5".
He runs the bases really well.
He's a professional athlete.
He's a professional athlete.
And those are failed dunk attempts from Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant should be able to stand under the hoop, jump straight up and dunk,
on video, and he posts his failures. I give him credit for that. I'm surprised.
He's taking
that.
A running start, and he's like the ball's jamming into the rim. It's like, what? Like,
you could tell he was getting ticked off that he couldn't do it. He was getting a little competitive.
All he's got to do is he should be able. It's 6'5".
Mm-hmm.
He should be able to turn around and dunk, right? Dunk the ball.
You would think so.
That's so weird. He is Dustin. You have often looked up and admired his height. That is a very tall man.
He is a tall guy.
You could dunk.
Yes, I have
right?
to. I have to look up at him. Yes,
I'm just saying.
If I was 6'5", I would hope I could dunk a basketball.
Joe, how tall was who was the NBA dunk champion? Who was the little guy? Was it?
He looked up at me, Spud Webb.
Spud Webb.
5'7".
5'7". So this guy's 10 inches taller
vertical.
Than him. I know it was, but
Joe
I'm just
Madden
saying.
Compared.
But the issue isn't the hops. The issue is him being able to hold on to the ball. That's what he's having trouble with.
Okay,
in the video.
But if you're 6'5", you can hold it with two hands and dunk.
Well, he didn't try to do that. Hmm. He's trying to dunk one handed.
So his hands are too small to hold the basketball.
You know,
cup the ball, right?
I'm just saying.
6'5".
The issue wasn't the hops. The issue was he couldn't seem to be able to hold on to get his wrist with the ball above the rim. That's how I saw it.
Well, that seemed to be a little more uncoordinated than you would have thought than if he can't grasp the ball to dunk it. I just was surprised.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're jumping up in a two-hand dunk for a six-foot-five guy, then we'd be ripping him for, what's the big deal? Two-handed dunk by a six-foot-five guy.
He wouldn't have posted it on Instagram if he had dunked it with two hands. He posted it to his credit because he couldn't dunk.
I think that was part of the gimmick, right?
Yeah. I don't think it was a gimmick. I think he was trying and he was failing.
I don't think he wasn't trying, but I think he was also having some fun at his own expense and talking about the fact that how great athletes NBA players are.
It is funny.
Yeah, they are great athletes.
Joe Madden compared him to Tom Boerwinkle.
Just wait until I catch Aloy Jimenez not being able to do something. Okay?
That was funny.
I'm going to point it out to everybody.
That was very funny. What's that, Dustin? What'd you just say?
I said, just wait till I see Aloy Jimenez not be able to do something. I'm going to point it out to everybody.
Why would your mind connect those things? Why is I'm just saying
because it's always a White Sox Cub thing.
No, it's not. This was fun.
Your mind is so troubled.
Petty.
Thank you.
It's a good idea, though, for Joe Madden's next zany, you know, team building
dunk contest,
whatever thing. Yeah, a team dunk contest.
You know, all
that would
think
actually
about
be entertaining.
Was,
I could get behind that.
All I could think about was, okay, he's going up to try this. He's going to pop his Achilles. Why would you do that? He's going to land on an ankle.
If you're not used to doing it,
don't
that's a good
try
point.
To dunk.
Or if you're walking in your backyard,
how
might have to
How tall is Anthony too. Rizzo?
I don't. He can't dunk. He's probably 6'3", 6'4".
No, he must be at least
Tony
6'4".
Rizzo, 6'3".
6'3"? Yeah. He should be able to dunk. I mean,
he doesn't have very good hops, though.
Okay,
I mean,
so who's the
he's not like an athlete.
Who's
like
the best
Bryan's
baseball
man.
Dunker
best,
in Chicago?
It's got to be Jason Hayward.
Tim Anderson.
Well, Tim Anderson is a hoop player.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, you asked an answer.
Yeah. How tall is Tim?
Probably 6'2", isn't he? 6'1"?
Tim Anderson is 6'1". Jay Hay is 6'5". So the same height as Chris Bryant.
Jay Hay could throw
Jay
it
Hay's
down.
An outfielder, though. You know, he's a lanky guy.
Right.
There are a lot of guys who probably you wouldn't want to see try.
Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy. James is in Albany Park. Hey, James.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, James.
All right. I'm 45 years old. I'm 6'5". I'm an African-American man. I can still dunk a basketball. If you can't palm a basketball,
yes, it's hard to
dunk a basketball.
Right.
It's harder to dunk a basketball with 2 feet or two hands than it is with one hand. It's
but it's 6'5". I mean,
2 feet. You're going straight up on a vertical.
He's like 27 years old, and he's 6'5". He should be able to
if you
dunk
can't
a basket.
Palm it, you can't dunk it. Did you ever see Charles Barkley dunk with one hand or two? It was always two. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
He always dunked with two hands.
Charles Barkley dunking much?
Oh yeah, Barkley dunked.
Yeah, I could dunk, but I just
you were telling me they're going to have a new scoreboard at the United Center.
Yeah, the United Center announced plans to. Put up a new scoreboard before next year so they can show the Zion Williamson highlights in.
You know, what's funny about that is
larger than life.
I remember
I'll
when
get the
they
details
had,
here first.
When they had the new scoreboard,
mm-hmm.
Scottie Pippen, I was covering the Bulls, and Scottie, he just had this thing where he didn't like to stand under the scoreboard. So, like, you know, sometimes on free throws, you know, he'd be back. And he would always be careful not to stand under the scoreboard. He was afraid that thing could fall. It was just some. You know how you sometimes get a weird idea in your head.
Yeah, that's like, a pretty strange one.
But that's a very funny one, isn't it?
For a guy
like that, that he didn't want to be standing under the scoreboard.
It's going to be.
I think it's hysterical.
The scoreboard will be state of the art, fully immersive audio system coming to the United Center for the start of the 2019-20 Blackhawks season, which means before the Bulls season too. But there's a video on Blackhawks tweeted out. I'm sure the Bulls did too, but I just saw the Blackhawks feed first.
Hmm, interesting.
A little. What's interesting? The scoreboard or the fact that I saw the Blackhawks feed first?
I'm not saying anything.
You're judging me.
I'm not judging
you're judging
anything.
My hockiness.
I'm saying interesting.
Do you remember the old title sponsor to the scoreboard at the old building? Do you remember that big, huge logo? You remember what that was by chance?
I do not.
It was like Winston. I want to say it was like Winston cigarettes.
was it really
huge? Yeah. Like you saw it all the time. Like it's just funny. Like you never see cigarette advertisement.
No.
It was like huge Winston cigarettes.
They frown on that now.
Yeah, that would not be a good
reason.
Idea.
Not sure why.
High resolution, 8,600 square feet.
I still say that the weirdest thing ever is going to Jerryland and covering the television. It's not a TV, but it's like a giant TV, and it is where the press box is located. You're right in front of the scoreboard, and I was looking around because I could barely keep my eyes off the screen.
You don't want to watch the game.
No, you watch the game on the screen because it's so it's like eye level and it's just overwhelming. And it was the it's the placement of I don't know what it is, but it was you just couldn't you could barely watch the game live because, you know, normally we'd have binoculars and you'd be watching the game. And I'm just staring at the screen, watching the game being broadcast to me while in the building. It's just so weird.
Because things, you could see them easier. I mean,
oh, it's fantastic.
Everything was larger than life.
The clarity of the thing was unbelievable.
Yeah, high definition, all those things.
But I was looking
very
around.
Distracting.
Everybody,
it's
everybody
very distracting.
Is watching
yeah.
it. It was so funny to be covering a game and all anybody is doing is staring at a screen. No one's actually, it's, you know, no one's actually watching the game live. They're watching the screen of the game as the game is going on below them. Bizarre.
But it's a fun place to watch a game.
It's a great place to watch a game.
You know,
and they have like they have all this stuff going on all over the place. There's like cages with a go-go girl dancing over here. And it's like, what the hell is this place?
It's
so weird.
According to the press release, it's a one-of-a-kind design intersecting traditional display elements and modern technology. 8,600 square feet, four times more LED screen display, kinetic movement with six independent panels, first of its kind, continuous inner ring display, and immersive audio production lighting, and more.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wonder if you're reading that on the Blackhawk site or on the Pulse site.
What difference does it make?
Doesn't make any
why
difference.
Why does it bother you that's that
why,
I put
the, well, that's why
the
you
Hawks
clarified
in front
it.
Of the Bulls?
You had to clarify it, then you had to say
I,
that
I
you
felt
had
a little
maybe the Bulls
there.
Have it
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. You got very defensive. And okay. I said, interesting. And I was commenting on how defensive you got, and then you got
little,
upset about it.
I'm a little more preoccupied with the Blackhawks season at this point than the,
yes,
than the Bulls.
That's fair.
I think it's understandable.
I think it's fair.
You little, you know, anxiety over the playoff push. You watch, you know, you're paying a little more scoreboard watching if you're a hockey guy. You're watching the Avs in the Wild last night.
Joe impersonator made a funny face when you said that.
Yeah, I know. The Joe impersonator, not a hockey guy.
Why are you calling me out like that?
Because his back is to you.
I could see you without seeing you, Kevin. What? I know that you were like rolling your eyes no. behind me.
Oh, he was scrunching his face
mocking
and
my
rolling
hockey
his eyes.
Love.
How many times have I ever rolled my eyes today, David?
Oh, at yeah. least, well, yeah. what's today, Wednesday? 15.
Oh, my God. Yeah. In the first segment or yeah. throughout the course of the show? You can. I can't see your eyes, but I can feel the roll of them. I can feel them burning into me.
Hawks
you know what's funny about you, Dustin? I can just see barely the top of your forehead, and I watch it as it burns red sometimes, and that's how I know you.
I figured you'd just see the smoke coming
yeah,
out of my
head. It's exactly right. Who
like
was elected
Weber, like
Pope,
a Weber
pal?
Grill, low yeah. and slow.
Couldn't see anything.
He's still, Dustin's still conferring.
About an hour ago, couldn't yet. See anything. The lights went out in here.
Yeah, that was really
that
strange.
That was a scary moment.
Yeah, there yeah. was the sound of a drill. We are operating under construction. There was a sound of a drill, and then the lights all went out in the studio, and it occurred to me.
Turn out the lights.
Yeah, we were talking.
The party is over.
During the break, I was talking to Jay. I was like, yeah, the lights went out in the studio. And he said, are you sure there isn't a guy laying down? Some poor guy.
Maybe so.
It went down.
There's a lot of construction going on. We're not rebuilding though. We're rewinning.
How would you describe the score? Rebuild.
We don't rebuild. We reload.
Reload. Yeah. Thanks, okay. Joe. That's appreciate good. That, Joe.
He's jumping in all over
gotcha.
The place.
Gotcha. Well, you guys want to hear about some bets for tonight?
Let's have them. Who do you like? Who do you like in the two games tonight?
I like...
First, you have to know who's playing. If you listen to his updates, he couldn't even give us the matchups correctly.
Arizona State.
No, I think St. John's.
Oh, all right, okay.
Wait, hold on. I need to consult my bracket. No, I picked Arizona State. I'm with you, Joe.
Let's get Eli back on the horn.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's call Eli.
I love that David jumped in with his gut feeling now, which wasn't the same as his Sunday gut.
No,
so he has to go back.
I'm going with my Sunday gut.
See?
My Sunday 7:15 gut is going to what I follow
really,
now.
I find this fascinating that we all have different ways of doing it, and you yeah. are some bracket snob.
I'm
who
not
feels,
a bracket snob.
No, you are. And you feel that if you don't, if you dare research and don't go with your gut feeling, then you've made a terrible blunder.
I just don't know why you need several days to fill out your bracket.
I'll have it done by tomorrow. Don't worry. It'll be
I know.
Done.
Tomorrow, well, tomorrow's Thursday.
Yeah.
They tip off at 11, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have it done before 11.
We're on, tomorrow. Yeah, we're off the air before
right.
then.
I'll have it ready to go.
Okay.
But not until the last possible second. I'm still weighing several chances and choices.
But don't you, wouldn't you just go with
I wouldn't. No,
feel?
I'd like to think it through. No.
All right.
Because sometimes sometimes my visceral reaction is different.
Because we pay so much attention to college basketball in Chicago throughout the previous 4 months that we want to, you know for sure that we feel good about our picks.
I want to consult various experts that I trust that I know have been monitoring a lot of this for me. I watch a lot of college basketball, but sometimes it's not tournament teams, okay?
You're an expert on the Missouri Valley.
I am pretty good on that. Unfortunately, like I said, the Missouri Valley has I think it's 7 straight years where they've won at least one game in the tournament, and now you got Bradley sneaking in and then pounding their chest with the beat writer, and now they are playing Michigan State. So it's hard to, you know, my gut tells me one thing and my brain tells me another, and I have other.
They play tomorrow? Is their season over tomorrow? Or is it, March 21st, Bradley's season will come to an end.
Okay. And rightly so. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't think anyone's going to feel that badly about Bradley bowing out given the weekend that they had.
It's not like Michigan State exactly has the moral high ground after their past
couple
of years.
That's what I was
going to
say. That's what I'm saying. If you really think about it.
Well.
This is sort of Sophie's Choice in a weird way, in a bad way.
In a reverse sort of way.
Not a happy way. The boy, the girl, MSU, Bradley.
Give me Spartans. Go Sparty.
All righty. We're going to bring in Dan and Connor, and we'll confer with them. We'll do a little something we like to call transition. We used to call it crosstalk, but apparently that's like saying foul shot as opposed to free throw. Foul shot is a negative connotation, and free throw is much nicer. So let's call it transition. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.